There are many cases that are discussed in the New York Times article where, for instance, an adult shows up to apply for a job, gets the job, but then a child shows up to actually do the job. Or a child comes in to apply for a job, but disguises their youth with makeup or wearing a face mask or dressing in a certain way. I mean, there is a purposeful effort on the part of some of these children. They are desperate to find jobs, and they will find a way to skirt the rules so they can work.
Human trafficking doesn't always take the form we first imagine. It can be found at almost any level of an organization's supply chain. What can compliance professionals do to assess human trafficking risk, and how can they leverage the resources of the organizations they work for to help root out this tragic problem? Gwen Hassan is here to help. This is Hidden Traffic.
Hello, and welcome to a solo episode of Hidden Traffic. I am your host, Gwen Hassan. I'm updating you today on kind of news around the world of human trafficking, some developments, some kudos, and resources and stories. So a bunch to cover. First of all, former guest here on the podcast, Source Map. I wanted to give a quick shout out to, they have recently been named to Fast Company's World's Most Innovative Companies list. They were given that recognition in the logistics category for their work around clean supply chain and supply chain mapping and tracking. So congratulations to SourceMap for that honor. Fast Company, of course, is a magazine, if you're not aware of it already. They run these different categories of innovative companies for a year. So congratulations to SourceMap. Next, a resource for you. Another former guest here on the podcast, the Mekong Club. Matt Friedman was the very first guest on the podcast back in fall of 21. His organization, Mekong Club, has recently published 8 tips for brands to prepare for Germany's new Due Diligence Act. It is on their website, and I recommend it to everyone. Very practical steps, ideas, things you can implement to get ready for Germany's Due Diligence Act. So if you are a company that is doing business in Germany, if you are a multinational who has offices in Germany, this would be a great read for you. So you can find it on their website, again, Mekong Club. 8 tips for brands to prepare for Germany's new Due Diligence Act. Recommended. Another idea for you and kind of update, again, a former guest on the podcast, GFEMS, the Global Fund to End Modern Slavery, has had some changes. They are reconstituting themselves and figuring out what their focus will be and have decided that they are going to have a new focus on having a survivor-centered organization, working more predominantly with survivors of modern slavery. And they have developed a new toolkit in partnership with the National Survivor Network. And this toolkit can be found on their website. And it provides practical tools to help other organizations become more inclusive of human trafficking and modern slavery survivors in their approaches. So I recommend that toolkit to anyone who is interested. In other news from them, they have decided to relocate. So GFEMS is moving their primary office, their core operations out of Washington, D.C., and will be setting up shop in Nairobi to help them again reach more survivors kind of on the ground. So congratulations to GFEMS. I think it's a really exciting kind of shift in their focus and in their work. And I urge you all to continue to support them where possible and appropriate, and to look at that toolkit that they have developed. In news categories, if you haven't already seen it, I commend to you the New York Times coverage. They have an article out there entitled Alone and Exploited. It was issued earlier this month, March here of 2023, coverage of child labor in the U.S. the author of the article spoke to more than 100 migrant children workers that were working in 20 different states here in the United States. The examples include a 15-year-old who is packaging Cheerios on an overnight shift in Michigan, a 14-year-old who is working a construction job, a 13-year-old boy who's a day laborer, 12-year-old roofers working in Florida and in Tennessee, a 13-year-old girl who's washing hotel sheets in Virginia. So these are just literally middle school-aged children, most of them migrant workers who have come from Latin America, having been sent here by family members, eager to find them a better life in the U.S., sponsored by relatives, or in some cases, sponsored by strangers. And I will explain more about that in a minute. But they are working in subcontractors, almost always, of brands and companies that are household names for those of us here in the U.S. So, for instance, one example was, again, middle-aged school children sewing Made in America tags into J. Crew shirts, baking rolls that were sold in Walmart and Target stores, processing milk that ultimately is used in Ben and Jerry's ice cream, creating auto parts that are then used by Ford and GM. They found 12-year-old workers working for suppliers of Hyundai and Kia. That was part of a Reuters investigation. One boy described in this article, he's 13 years old, and he met his sponsor on Facebook Messenger, a man who, out of the goodness of his heart, and picture the air quotes there, offered to sponsor him to come to the United States and work in Florida, sent in travel documents and tickets, got him to Florida, where he was then told that he owed this man $4,000 for his travel expenses and his visa and the taco dinner that he gave him upon arrival, and he would have to find his own housing. The boy describes it as just being lied to repeatedly. So he was effectively trafficked here to the U.S. by this man who was hoping to make money off of his back. Ultimately, in that case, the sponsor was tracked down and found guilty of smuggling a child into the United States for financial gain, which is a trafficking crime. Unfortunately, there are a fair number of people out there who are targeting these impoverished families in Latin America, many of them in Guatemala, which is a real personal issue for me because my own son, I adopted from Guatemala when he was a baby. So to know that other children are being targeted in his home country to be brought here to work 14, 17-hour shifts in some cases, you know, not able to go to school. They found one man who had sponsored literally 20 children to come into the United States, many of whom had then subsequently disappeared. So the idea here and this article that I commend to you is that these children are being sent here or are being lured here with the hope of a better life, the hope of being able to send money back home to their impoverished families in Latin America, to going to school here and learning English, to making a better life for themselves, but they are being manipulated and used and taken advantage of. It happens throughout our supply chain and to, you know, major companies. So I urge all of you who are working for major companies to look for the possibility that you have within your supply chain at the subcontractor or sub-subcontractor level, migrant children who are working for your organization. One of the cases that was brought up was a company called Hearthside, which apparently is a subcontractor to General Mills, the company that makes things like Cheerios and Lucky Charms and Nature Valley granola bars. According to this article, Hearthside has multiple subcontractor agreements with multiple food manufacturers here in the United States. And it's difficult to walk through the aisles of a grocery store and not find something that Hearthside has been involved in the production of. And Hearthside is the company where the 14-year-old girl was working overnight to box Cheerios and then trying to go to school during the day. So it's just further evidence that although we often think about human trafficking and modern slavery as something that happens elsewhere. It's happening right in our backyard. This New York Times article cites 20 different states in which they found child workers. Ironically, then, as a follow-on, 2 weeks ago, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed into law a new provision that makes it easier for employers in Arkansas to employ children. It does away with what used to be a required state verification of age and the issuance of a work permit to certify that the child was old enough to be able to work. It applied to all children that were under the age of 16, and she has now done away with that law, which no longer requires the state to certify workers who are under 16 or to provide them with any kind of certificate. The logic being that this makes it easier for the children who need to work to find work. There's a labor shortage out there. So arbitrarily applying this state involvement of verifying and certifying age is, you know, an unnecessary drain on resources and an unnecessary kind of governmental step that interferes with the economy of hiring. Of course, the purpose of that law having been in place was to protect vulnerable youth, to keep them from being taken advantage of. NPR did a whole report on this new Arkansas law and said that the number of minors that are employed in violation of U.S. labor laws has more than tripled since 2015. That's just a staggering number. Also, there was an investigation from the U.S. Department of Labor that found hundreds of children working in dangerous jobs in the example given is the meatpacking industry. And the earlier this year, there was a $1.5 million fine levied against Packers Sanitation Services, the maximum fine allowable for employing children in dangerous meatpacking plant jobs and cleaning of those meatpacking plants. So bottom line is, it appears that not only is this an existing problem, but certain places like Arkansas are now making it even easier for employers to employ underage workers. And I want to emphasize here that it's tough and that it's not necessarily the case that employers are just looking the other way and pretending they don't see this. There are many cases that are discussed in the New York Times article where, for instance, an adult shows up to apply for a job, gets the job, but then a child shows up to actually do the job. Or a child comes in to apply for a job, but disguises their youth with makeup or wearing a face mask or dressing in a certain way. I mean, there is a purposeful effort on the part of some of these children. They are desperate to find jobs and they will find a way to skirt the rules so they can work. It is incumbent, though, on companies, especially those here in the U.S. who are subject to the U.S. laws, to find a way to make sure that they are doing diligence on their supply chain throughout their subcontractors and sub-subcontractors to vet out these issues, to come up with controls for these issues, to make sure that you're actually matching the applicant to the person who shows up to work, who perhaps provides a work tool of red flags that should be indicators of underage workers trying to skirt the system. So bottom line is the prevalence of modern slavery and human trafficking within the United States continues to be even more serious and large than we believed originally. It is not something that only happens in a Thai fishing boat or, for that matter, in a brothel in India. Both cases we've discussed here on the podcast before, but it can happen with somebody packing Cheerios that your kids eat for breakfast right here in the U.S. In this case, the packing plant was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where these children were found. Emphasizing the importance of due diligence on your supply chain all the way back to source, making sure that you are running all the traps as it relates to your subcontractors. So that's the podcast for today. A reminder that there's resources out there. Make sure you look, as I mentioned, into the toolkit put out by GFEMS, the new article put out by the Mekong Club about preparing for the German Supply Chain Act, which does have tools that could also be easily applicable for use here in the U.S. in terms of best practices for prevention of modern slavery and human trafficking, and consider tools that are available out there. For instance, SourceMap, which we discussed earlier, has just, you know, won an award for their work in this space. Thank you, and we'll talk again soon.